Oh my goodness me, it does not get much better than this. What a weekend we've got. Welcome along to the Racing Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I'm delighted to be joined by a top team this week. We've got Keith Melrose and David Jennings from the Racing Post and Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power. But most of all, we've got 2 days of simply sensational racing. Even if the weather does take a bit of a bite out of it, there is no way this isn't going to be absolutely mega. Let me whet your appetite for what is coming up on the show. Hopefully, this is the big imponderable. Sandown faces an inspection this afternoon, but they've got an all-chase card featuring the Scilly Isles and also the rearranged Cotswold. Got brilliant staying chase at Musselburgh. Weatherby's got some good stuff, but the real action this weekend is over in Leopardstown. Two sensational days for the Dublin Racing Festival. Loads and loads of absolutely massive names from Irish racing in action. And flat fans, we've even got good old Prince of Arran running at Kempton. And down at Lingfield, there's a really intriguing clash. Summergan versus Mum's Tipple. It's all happening. You're in the best place for all the very best bets and all the latest news. We will start with Sandown. Like I say, we're hoping their card gets the go-ahead. It has been really, really wet. But as I speak, about 10 miles away from Esher, the sun is shining, so it's hopefully drying it out. And we'll look at the first race there on Saturday. It's the 150. It's the Virgin Bet Scilly Isles Novices Chase. It's a grade one over 2 miles and 4 furlongs. And the favourite, Frank Hickey, Shan Blue, is one of the best novice jumpers of a fence I've ever seen. What price is he?
Yeah, he's 5-2 at the moment. Hitman, he's 3-1. Mazir does a 130. Dan de Compagnie, 7-2. Paint Dream, 10-1, along with Sporting John. And up the straight is the outsider at 40-1.
And Frank, because I'm always so happy to have you on the show, we'll start with you for the first tip. Kick us off with a winner if you can.
Yeah, look, Sam Blue, he's a good jumper. He's obviously coming off the back of winning at the Cape of Star Novices Chase. But I like this Hitman. Impressed with his first start to Foss last, albeit the race fell apart a little bit. The second McMahon has won over hurdles since. And I thought he ran a really nice race behind All Mankind in the King Henry VIII. All Mankind's very good. He's a very good jumper as well, and he's very hard to peg back. And Sandown really suited him getting to the front. I think Hitman improved for the step up and trip. And yeah, look, is he much value against Shan Blue? Maybe not. I think his price is about right, but I do think he has a chance of turning over Shan Blue. If you can just stick with him, I think he might be able to do him for pace maybe between the final two fences.
Thank you very much, Frank. Keith, what an exciting weekend we've got, haven't we?
Yeah, it looks tremendous, doesn't it? And this is actually a really good renewal of the Scilly Isles. I've made the point in the paper, assuming that the Sandown lasts until tomorrow, that the Scilly Isles is actually getting better all the time. It used to be the weak link of the three pre-Cheltenham Grade 1 novice chases in Britain. It's not anymore. It's right up there with the Henry VIII and the Cultural Star. And to be honest, it's so competitive. I think the best bet in the race, actually, if you're doing it very strictly, is to place Lee Paint the Dream, because there's so much quality ahead of him. And I thought he won with the ride really last time. He's been found out in this sort of grade before, and I don't think he'll be in the first two because the quality is so good ahead of him. And how I'll actually bet in the race, I might also have a little bit of a fanboy bet on Shan Blue. I absolutely love this horse. The way he jumps is just absolutely electric. And for that reason, I don't think 2.5 miles at Sandown will inconvenience him. Whether he's the very best horse in the race, I don't know. But he won the Cultural Star with his jumping. And he might win this with his jumping too.
Okay, thank you very much. Keith, DJ, I suppose the trouble with Shan Blue is that he's such a perfect jumper that it can only actually get worse. He can't jump any better than he does, can he? Do you know what I mean?
He's deadly, isn't he? He's just deadly. Like, I was absolutely mad at the big breakaway at Kempton over Christmas. And it was just demoralising up the home straight, because you know the big breakaway has so much more ability than Shan Blue. And every time he got to him at a fence, he just lost two lengths. It was just, oh, it was infuriating. He's a class jumper, and he'll be a sight to behold over the railway fences. It's funny, I kind of disagree with Keith in one way, and I'll tell you why. None of these have any chance at Cheltenham, which I think is like the shortest price is Shan Blue. And he's freely available at 12-1 for the March of any of these. Like, none of these realistically have any chance whatsoever of beating Shishkin, Envoy LN, or Monkfish. Now, obviously, you could say that they are three exceptional novices, but as a grade one, this is the way we should be regarding these races. And I would be shocked if any of these won at Cheltenham. That's not to say it's not a competitive race and it's going to be really enjoyable. When I got through it. The one I came down to was damn the company, because I think the weight she's getting is going to be key here. I loved her jumping apart from one fence of air. Yes, she only beat one horse, but it was Cornerstone Lad. And I think if this was a hurdle race with these conditions and these weights carried, I think damn the company would be favoured. And I didn't see anything in her jumping of air that made me think she won't be an even better chaser. So damn the company for me.
Thank you very much, Dave. Right then, the 220. This is a race we really do not want to be off. It was obviously off last week when it was due to be run at Cheltenham. Let's hope it gets takes its second chance at Sandown. It's the Virgin Bet Cotswold Chase over 3 miles and a few yards, about the length of a cricket pitch on top. We've got six runners, and they are some of the biggest names. Frank, take it away with the show.
Yeah, Bristol Demai, 7-4 favourites. Antille, 5-6. St. Calvus, 9-2. Native River, 5-1. Yalanki, 1. And Nicky Lads, the outside of the field, at 16-1.
Keith, this is one of those races where if you're not excited by this, you're in the wrong game, aren't you?
It's my opinion on the Cotswold has changed totally from it going from Cheltenham to Sandown. At Cheltenham, I was all ready to back St. Calvados and hope that he stayed. Because they're now going right-handed and he jumped badly in Georgie, I'm going to change entirely. I just can't see him beating Bristol Demai under these conditions. They always talk about his Haydock preference. It's actually a preference for really deep ground that he has. And it's also he's also deadly coming off a break, because since the start of 2017, I had a look today, and he's run 8 times after a break of 50 days or more, and on 7 of them, he's run to 170+. He's coming off 11 weeks since the Betfair Chase now. He's going to get grim ground. I can't back anything against him. I think he'll probably win.
Bristol Demai is Keith's selection. Who is David's selection?
This is actually one of my strongest fancy of the whole day, Bruce. I really fancy San Calvados. I just think it's really weird. If you go through all these in the race, okay, Bristol Demai, Native River, Santini, Yal Enki, and St. Calvados, the only one of those with scope for improvement is St. Calvados. The only one who could be getting better is St. Calvados. He's rated 167, okay? So he's only got £3 to find with Santini on official ratings, and he's getting £6. So he's waited to win the race. His form on deep ground is incredible, really. He's ran 4 times on heavy ground, and the only time that he flopped was in that ridiculous Arkle when they went 1,000,000 miles an hour, himself and Petit Mouchoir. It was just ridiculous. It was bonkers. I'd say Aidan Coleman would love to have that ride back again. But to me, he travelled certainly like the second best horse in the King George. I think people are kind of putting two and two together and saying the ground combined with the trip will stretch him out. But I actually think he's just so good on this ground. And To me, the prices are all wrong. I think he's got a cracking chance, St. Calvados.
To me, that was my opinion last week, going out to Cheltenham. He just jumped left consistently at Kempton, and that's what put me off, DJ.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a worry, but I think he'd be okay.
Where do you stand on this run, one, Frank?
I kind of agree and disagree with DJ in that. I really like St. Calvados, but I'm just not convinced he's going to get 3 miles. I thought he actually shaped like the best horse in the race in the King George, and it might have been an element of him needing the run a touch, as well as not maybe not staying. I think they're trying him here to kind of get a conclusive answer. I hope he finishes like, you know, a weakening second or third and comes back to the Ryanair, because I'd really fancy him in the Ryanair, to be honest. And I think Bristol Demai probably is the most likely winner, because he does love the heavy ground, as Keith's already alluded to. The one small negative would be Nigel Twiston Davis hasn't had a winner in nearly 4 weeks, but he is good fresh generally. He won the Silly Isles here years ago when he ran a Sandown before. And I definitely wouldn't like Santini. All against him. He only scraped home here last year in the intermediate chase. I think Bristol Demai is the most likely winner. Though if St. Calvados did stay, he'd have a big chance. I'm hoping he doesn't.
Okay, thanks, chaps. That's Sandown. There are 3 other races on ITV4, weather permitting. And we'll see if the lads fancy anything there when we do our roundup. But next, we're going to whiz up to Musselburgh, where they're on the ITV4 roster this week. 3:45. It's the Bet365 Edinburgh National over 4 miles and 1 furlong. It's going to be a right old slog. Frank, how did Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, we're offering 4 places. LeBroy, 130. The Ferrymaster, 4-1. Dino Boy, 5-1. St. Xavier, 52. Classic Escape, 8-1. And we're 10-1 bar.
Keith, you can go first on this. This is a tricky old puzzle.
Yeah, it's a tricky puzzle, and I want to be against LeBroy. I think I've finally concluded that the National Hunt Chase left a mark on him. I think the Ferry Master is the right favourite, but that price doesn't particularly interest me. I had it down for each way bet because we're getting the four places, and I had it down to three. The one I've decided on over the two Newland horses is Stay Humble, who was quite well regarded at first for Willie Mullins. He went off odds on, I think, for all four of his bumpers and won a maiden hurdle very easily. Didn't quite go on from that and has gone to Pauline Robson, who is quite an underrated trainer, I think, in the north. And every single start for Robson, this horse is shaped better than the result. I think it was fitness rather than stamina that beat him at Kelso in October. And then when he ran over 2.5 miles here in December, it was a speed test up the straight. He gave them a bit of a start and he still only just went down. I think his best trip is going to be, I'm not sure it's 4 miles, but it's certainly further than 2.5. So I will be taking a chance on him each way.
Okay, we finally found a race that David Jennings doesn't have an opinion on, so he's going to sit this one out. Frank, have you got an opinion?
Yeah, look, LeBroy will have to win to get into the Grand National. Obviously, that's his aim for the year, and 140 won't be enough. He's run okay in the Beecher and finished a well-beaten third and in Castle Chase. I'd probably side with Dean LeBroy. I think he might have put him up when he won the Barley National. If you look at it, it looks impressive when he was 15 lengths in favour. The Brisley fell at the last when they were neck and neck. He may well have won anyway, but he's got an 8-pound rise. They were well clear of the third. He's only had 2 starts for each Jardine. He's only had 8 clear starts in total. He's very likely raised it unexposed. He will stay and handle the ground. I thought he'd probably hit the frame anyway.
Okay. Let's whiz across next to Weatherby, another race that's been salvaged from last week's Cheltenham card. Again, subject to an inspection, 8 a.m. they're having a look at Weatherby. I know there's a lot of cold and snow, so hopefully this will take place. It's the 3 o'clock, and no, it's not the 3 o'clock. Sorry, I'm going mad. It's the 2:30, and it's the William Hill Cleeve Hurdle. It's a Grade Two over 3 miles. We were hoping, obviously, for Paisley Park, but we don't have him. But down the card, main fact on the blind side: Ramses to take, Ask Dylan, Bally Optic, Decor Elon Day, Itchy Feet, Lakeview Lad, Port Rush Ted, Third Wind, and West Approach. So, some really big name staying hurdlers. A really interesting race. Who is going to pass the post in front, David Jennings?
I wouldn't be backing him, but I think Itchy Feet is the most likely winner. He's just comes attached with so many risks these days because he's breaking blood vessels. He's not travelling with any fluency. It could just be fences are not for him, even though he jumped so well early on as a novice last season. And when he won the Scilly Isles this weekend last year, he looked a brilliant jumper. I was all over him for the marsh. But I just think, like, he has actually ran remarkable races in his 3 starts this season. He's looked lethargic and out with the washing and going to be pulled up and tailed off. And he's finished 3rd, 2nd, and 2nd. And last time against Rational Dasher, like, it looked looked hopeless for most of the journey, and he was only beaten 2 lengths. That form has been frank since. I just think if he gets into a rhythm early and he enjoys himself, he's definitely got the most ability in the race. So you could chance him, but I think he's one that is likely to win but is not a betting proposition.
Frank,
I nearly echo what David said there. Look, he's gone loads of ability, was placing supreme, great woman over fences as a novice. His jumping just gone a little bit hayward this year, but he has been running on strongly at the end of his races, suggested a step up. The 3 miles might suit. Ollie Murphy has had some all right winners recently. Obviously, growing up the storm was impressive at Taunton recently. And just as David's already said, if he kind of gets in some sort of rhythm early, he's definitely a possibility and he should be winning because I think nothing capable of running to 160 plus here, and he's probably the only one that potentially could.
Okay, have we got a third apathetic tip for Itchy Feet, Keith?
Basically, yes. My point was going to be, if you don't back Itchy Feet, you're at his mercy, because he is on a going day. Then he wins well. So yeah, I would, if I'm betting in this race, it will be a small bit on Itchy Feet.
Thank you very much, gents. That is the UK TV action. Let's do the Dublin Racing Festival on Saturday next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Right then, like I say, it's day one of the Dublin Racing Festival on Saturday. That brilliant innovation that really has injected some life and some purpose into the February jumps calendar. We're going to look at the four races that are on ITV4, but it really is a star-studded card. We'll start with the 105, the Nathaniel Lacey and Partners Solicitors 50 grand Cheltenham bonus for stable staff novice hurdle. It's a grade one over 2.6 miles. I like the sound of a 50 grand bonus for stable staff. Well done to whoever's stumped up for that. Who's going to win? Let's get the prices from Frank.
A Gerard O'Neill 15-8, Starter 5-1, Cave Gentleman 6-1, Holy Macaponi 8-1, Ashdale Bob 17-2, Gentleman's Game 9-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
And who do you like, Frank?
I probably would side with Gentleman's Game. He has to improve, and I think he will improve. He was very impressive winning at Cork on his hurdles debut, albeit Willie Mullen's favourite pulled too hard that day. But he was very impressive. And I think it's kind of interesting that Miles Morris is pitching straight into grade one. He was due to run a Thurles, but he wasn't satisfied with the ground there. And you would have thought he would have went a little quieter route with him. And when he has done this, you know, he has had some decent sort of middle distance novices in the last 10 or 12 years. We obviously have a first two 10 into one of Ballymore, Sam's profile, just among a couple. And this horse has loads of potential. I'm going to back him for the Albert Bartlett as well. I think that's where he's going to go. The fact he's aimed at this, the Albert Bartlett's a race that looks kind of weak at the moment. If you can aim a runner, you're going to be on one at a price, because I'd say about over half of the top 12 or 14 in the betting are almost certainly not going to run. And the other one I'd be keeping an eye on is Fakira with the cheek pieces on. He's crying off 3 miles. I think he'll shape a bit better here even again. And he's another one to keep in mind for the Albert Bartlett. But Gentleman's Game, I think, has got loads of ability. But this is a real cracking race. I think he could run, you know, finish third and still, you know, run a lovely trial for the Albert Bartlett. I think Gerard O'Neill, as impressive as he was, and with the form working out the second and third winning since, he deserves to be favoured. But I don't think he's got this in the bag by any means. This is a really strong race.
Okay, Frank's putting up Gentleman's Game. Keith is sitting this one out. David Jennings, who are you going to go for?
Oh, Ashdale Bob, Bruce. Yeah, I think this is one of the most underrated horses in training. I fancy him for the Albert Bartlett, and I'm hoping that he's going to take this en route. He won the same race at Navan, the Grade 2, the latest exhibition won, and latest exhibition went from that race at Navan to win this. Now, Ashdale Bob is coming off the back of a horror fall at the second hurdle in the Grade 1 at Nice. He just took off a mile too early. It could have been a shadow, I'm not too sure, but before that, he was a really good jumper. Like, his form is cracking. Like, he's in his maiden hurdle, when he caused a bit of a shock that day at Navan, he beat wide receiver, Shadow Rider, and Falcano. And Falcano should have got the maiden hurdle at Navan last week. Shadow Rider bolted up at Christmas, and wide receiver is obviously favoured for the Martin Pipe. And next time in the Grade 2 at Navan, again, an unconsidered 14-1 shot, he hammers Fakira, and a few of them that are like Holy Macaponi was pulled up. And to me, he's got the best day in form of any novice in Ireland, and he's a double figure price, and I can't believe he's 25-1 for the Albert Bartlett.
Lovely. Okay, 135. Who's for a bit of Chacun Poursoir versus Min? Yes, please. It's the Ladbrokes Dublin Chase, another grade one over 2.25 miles. This should be a cracker. Frank, I guess Chacun's got to be favourite, hasn't he?
Yeah, sure. He's 4-9. Min's 4-1. Notebook 13-2. Plays in Potsy 22-1. And turning the flowers 25-1, Factor due to reach 41.
Keith, there's nothing. What's putting me off an each way bet on Min? I think he'll beat the rest, and then I'm getting my money back if Chacun beats him.
That's the bet, isn't it?
I thought so, but yeah. You're the expert.
It is. Min is so much more reliable than Chacun Poursoir. He doesn't seem to make the track as much. Seems a little bit more of a fragile type. Hasn't had many times where he's run, you know, sort of 3 times in this sort of space of time, 3 months or so. So yeah, I think each way on Min is the way to go. Chacun Poursoir has him if he turns up in his best form and has the champion chase on his racket, really, as things stand. But Min each way is the sensible bet in this race.
DJ, I've got you mentioned about underrated jumpers. Min absolutely fits that for me. I think he's an absolute legend. He's just brilliant. I mean, he's 1 or 2 wins away from being right up there in the top echelon. Love the horse. Can he get the job done here?
No, he can't, Bruce. It's very seldom horses at certain prices represent value to me. But I actually think, I know it's 4-9 with Paddy Power. there's 1-2 out there. I actually don't think that's not bad value with Shaq and Persuade. It's blatantly obvious that over this trip, he's a more talented horse than Min. He beat him in the race last year when he had a less smooth build-up to the race. Just everything has gone smoothly for this horse this season. Like, the run in Cork was smooth. The run in Leopardstown last time, his swagger was back. I actually think he's probably a little bit underrated, Shaq and Persuade. I think he's the bee's knees, and I just don't see, unless there's some kind of something drastically goes wrong here, I don't see how he doesn't win. I would suggest maybe, you know, if you do fancy something in the card, just propping it up a bit by putting Shaq and Persuade in as for a double or a treble.
Looking forward to this race, Frank. Are you?
Yeah, it's a great race. It's a great weekend at Leopardstown. Shaq and Persuade is going to be very difficult to beat. The one I would look, it's not a bet in this race because we only have the six runners, but for the champion chase, I was looking at it, and behind Shaq and Persuade, like, the only worry we'll have with Shaq and Persuade is him getting there fit and healthy. He hasn't stood much racing over the last few years, but he definitely has the most ability. If he gets to Cheltenham fit and well, it's very difficult to see him beaten. But there's one huge price for this that you'll get more of a return if he finishes in the first three for your money than if Shaq and Persuade won the champion chase, and that's Tornado Flyer. You might think I'm a little bit mad, but he did win a graded chase of novice last year in Navan over 2 miles. His form this year just seems so much better. Like, you go back to when he was in a bumper horse, he won a grade one bumper at Punchestown and was placed at Cheltenham. He was top class. Like, this year, he ran the handicap off 150 on his reappearance. He might have been a tiny bit disappointed. Like, it was a fair run in second, but if you see how the form's worked out, Daily Tiger was winning that day off 137, and he's bolted up in the Dan Moore off 147. That's one of the strongest handicaps over 2 miles run in Ireland, and he's now rated £20 higher. And even in third that day was Castle Vaughan West, who went on and won the Paddy Power Chase very easily and has gone up £13. Like, so Tornado Flyer nearly, like, ran a massive race off top weight that day. He ran Minta length in the John Durkin, didn't stay in the Savills Chase. I think a strongly run 2 miles is really going to suit him. Like, as I said, he was only a length behind Min when he seemed to be outstayed by all accounts in the John Durkin. I just think I'd like to see him finish, like, you know, not beating too far in maybe second or even third here. But, like, you're looking, there's 50-1 for the champion chase, and you'd be almost certain he's going to run there because Willie has so many for the Ryanair already. And just the race is the potential to cut up, and I could easily see him hitting the frame in that race.
50-1 each way for the champion chase. Tornado Flyer, that's a good angle. Let's look at the 210 at Leopardstown next. It's the Patrick Warden Company Solicitors Irish Arkle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 9 runners, so we've got each way potential. Frank, what's the latest betting here?
Energamine is 4-5, Unaccepted 4-1, Captain Guinness 8-1, Darbystar 10-1, along with Franco Deport, and we're 12-1 back.
Who wins, DJ?
Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't come to me first here, Bruce, because I was dying to hear what the other lads think, because I don't really know. And I'm so indecisive today. Like, you're going to come to the champion hurdle now, and I'm just, my head is all over the place, and I don't know what's going on. But with this race here, it's just going to be mental, because, like, Unaccepted, Felix Deger, Blackbow, Captain Guinness, Energamine, like, they all just want to go out and let go and just go off like the clappers. Like, what do, it's not a betting race for starters, so I'm going to be really quick, so there's no point listening to me. I spoke to Paul Townend yesterday for a piece in today's Racing Post, and he said, I said to him about the pace burn up front, and I said, it's going to be mental with these horses going so fast. And he goes, can't wait. He goes, I can put Energamine anywhere. He said he is the most straightforward horse you could ride. He's like Monkfish. He's not a tearaway. He's relaxed. He's everything you'd want. And I started the phone call thinking Energamine was a ridiculous price for this race, given the quality that was on show. How could he be odds on? We haven't seen enough yet. And I ended the phone call saying to myself, do you know what? He'll probably win. As regards one of the big prices that I think the race will be run to suit, Darbystar got caught up in that pace duel last time. I think the race is going to suit him here. Jonathan Moore won't be so anxious to go after Felix Deger, and I think he's one that will stay in into potentially second or third, but I do think Energamine is the most likely winner.
I'm going to be quick, he says. Blimey, I wonder what the
full version is like. Sorry.
That's all right. Tom put Darvas star up for the Arkell in the week, didn't he? That was left field. Okay, yeah, it's going to be fast and furious, as DJ says. And who's going to come out on top, Frank?
Oh, this is straightforward. Eric Amina win. I've been banging on about him now for months. And, you know, I put my head in the chopping board and said, this will be Chiskin in the Arkell at Cheltenham.
Whoa, get you.
I think the discrepancy in price, I wouldn't have them anywhere near that kind of a gap between them. They've both been really quick on the clock. And yeah, Chiskin is a really good horse, but I think Eric Amina's a very good horse as well. And, you know, people are kind of crappy him saying, oh, he needs to be prominent. He shifts slightly right. Like, very slightly. His jumping's quite good. There's no negatives to this horse. I think it's really, really good. Like, this is a strong race. Unaccepted's form at Tipperary's worked out really well. In two casts was second. Rebel Gold was third. He's won since. Farmer the Sea's won since. It was fourth. Key Commander was sixth. Has won since. And Aramax was 10th. Has won. Like, so the form is really strong. But Eric Amina, I think, is acceptable horse. And I really do believe the price difference between him and Chiskin is far too big. Like, if they both get their fitting well in the day, we're in for a cracker. And I genuinely believe everyone got the ability to turn over Chiskin.
One excellent. Very excellent.
That's why we love Frank Hickey. That's why we love Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I would say, like, Quinn, I think Chiskin is not as bomb-proof as Keith. Even if you watched him last week, like, yeah, the last three.
Ah, come on, Frank. He's class.
The ref is stepping in. We need to get Keith's verdict. No, come on, Keith. Yeah. Go on. You've said your piece, Frank. You've convinced us. Go on, Keith.
Just set out the pace battle and put up Franco Deport each way. Okay. He's going to be ridden very patiently. It's what he did when he won. He beat Darvas Star over Christmas. The fact they're going to go hard sort of tempers my usual antithesis to the way he gets ridden. So yeah, he's got a lot of talent.
And just in a word, is Frank right? Can Chiskin be beaten, Keith?
Not on merit.
Okay. 3:15 at Leopard Sound. This is also on ITV4 for obvious reasons. It's the race of the day. It's the Chanel Farmer Irish Champion Hurdle over 2 miles. Honeysuckle versus Charger with four other class acts in there as well. Spin through the betting, Frank, and then tell us who wins.
Yeah, Honeysuckle's 11-8. Charger 2-1. San Ross 6-1. Abcadabra 8-1. Saladier 10s. And Petit Mouchoir 16-1. It's a very tricky race. Look, if Charger's in the same sort of form that he was at Christmas, I think he'd have a right chance. I'd be negative enough on Honeysuckle. I don't think her performance at Fairy House was anywhere near what she did last year. And yeah, 2 miles around here, I'm not sure it's absolutely ideal. I know they're talking about the Champion Hurdle. I think she's better over further. I think she's vulnerable. I think Charger's probably, I would think, the most likely winner. If I was having a bet, I'd take a small chance in Saladier. Like, if you go back, a grade one winner as a juvenile, he was going to beat Esport Dallin the day he tipped up. He won the Morgiana last year. Look, he was disappointed at Christmas, but he had been off for a year, more than a year. If he comes back to his best, he is a big price at 10-1.
Keith, I think you put Saladier up as a possible Champion Hurdle long shot, didn't you? So does that mean you think he's worth a bet here as well, like Frank?
Yeah, if you've backed him for the Champion Hurdle already, you have a bet on today just to cover yourself, really. But yeah, I think that's sort of he was the angle on the Champion Hurdle at the time. He might have been nibbled at since. It's not an each way race, particularly this one. So, you know, it'd be a sort of win only insurance bet on him today.
And David, who do you fancy, David?
This is absolutely messing with my head, Bruce. My brain is absolutely fried. I try to take on Honeysuckle all the time because it makes sense all the time to take her on, be with Benny to do, you know. In different type of races, it made sense to take her on. And I'm sick of taking her on, but I'm going to take her on. What I'm going to take her on with, I don't know. Like, Charger, like, you look at the price he was at Christmas and he has that potential just to bomb out once a season. Is that going to be this one? Then you go to Abercadabras and you go, how on earth is Abercadabras this price? This is absolutely ridiculous. And then you look back at his run at Leopardstown and you go, oh, Jesus Christ, sure, he can't win. Then you go to San Juan and I interviewed Willie Mullins after the race when Charger won. He could not believe the Charger finished ahead of Saint-Roch. He said that, I'm shocked. Like, he just couldn't believe how poorly Saint-Roch ran. His work apparently leading up to that race was absolutely fantastic. And then there's Saldi, as Keith says, if you go back to his form, you know, you say, if he won, you'd say, oh, sure, he would have beaten Espoir d'Alene the day he fell. And his form is really good when you look back. So my head is fried, Bruce. I haven't a clue.
Oh, right. OK. What we do know is that one of our colleagues is riding in the race, DJ. Patrick Mullins has signed a deal to write for the Racing Post. He's a fully fledged journo now. He rides Charger, and he's got a great interview going in on Saturday. Delighted to have Patrick, because not only does he ride well, he writes brilliantly, doesn't he?
It is depressing, Bruce. I did the big read with David Mullins on Sunday, and I have a column going in the paper tomorrow. And I was flat out this morning trying to get stuff finished. And then I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just type in here to have a look at Patrick Mullins' piece with Danny. And it was demoralizing to read because he just put my two pieces to shame. This is writing. And it's hard to believe that somebody who's a full-time jockey was able to write a piece like this. It's absolutely brilliant.
Well, be careful. Your boss used to be a jockey, Mr. Forrestal. So it is possible.
He did.
I shall alert that to him, that you don't rate Richie as a proper journalist. Absolutely. Right then, let's see what else the lads fancy on Saturday. Don't give your naps away and don't take ages because we've still got Sunday to do. But very quickly, names, times and meeting and a quick reason why. Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I'm going to want to watch, first of all, is Rocadent in the 248 Muscle Bra. That race is there to be won if the horse is bleeding on his first run since coming from France. I will be looking at the market before backing him, though. I won't need to look at the market to back Gaelic Coast in the 1257 at Muscle Bra. This horse has been crying out for 2.5 miles, gets the chance now, and I think he can turn over Getaway Trump. Now, there's another away bet, but it's my nap, so I'll stop there.
Thank you very much indeed, DJ.
I'm going to keep it short and sweet, Bruce. In the 2:45 at Leperton, the Matheson Handicap Chase, I'm going to chance a Wave of the Sea for Joseph O'Brien and Simon Torrens. He's a big price. There were some 20s available earlier on in the week. I just thought there was more sign of life last time over course and distance. He finished at fifth, didn't jump as well early, and he's only rated 133. He's 138 over hurdles, only a five-year-old. Don't think he's finished improving yet. So if you get 20-1 about Wave of the Sea in the 2:45, I think that's a little bit of value. And also, sorry, in the handicap hurdle, the big handicap hurdle is at 3:50. This is really interesting. The one that I've sided with just about is right down the bottom, the My Glass Flyer for Joseph O'Brien again and Mark Walter. I'm hoping it'll be a good day for Joseph. He's only had 4 starts. And to me, he looks a horse that could have a stone in hand if things go right. He's rated 129. He's certainly 140 horse if things go according to plan. It's a big field. He's a single figure price, but I think he's going to be hard to beat. The My Glass Flyer.
He's 7-1 with Paddy Power. Frank, what have you got for us?
Yeah, a couple of races there. The 2:45, the Madison, as DJ has been on about already. I like the. Look, he's improved for switching to Emmett Mullins. Won the Great Wood this year. He won over fences as well. A punch time beating Enjoy Dallin, who's won his last 2 starts and is now rated 136. And the Chandra beat him very easily. He won the Great Wood off a mark of 128. He runs here off a mark of 132. I think if he can just lay up with them, and if he's anywhere within 7 or 8 lengths jumping 2 out, I think he's got a right chance of winning.
You just cut out and you said the name of the horse there, Frank. Give it to us again.
Yeah, the shunter in...
Oh, the shunter. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we know the shunter. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think he's got a right chance. You know, he his time in Greatwood compared okay with the Supreme Trial. He's only £4 higher here. As I said, he's beaten Edward Dallin over fences, who's now won his next 2 and has rated 136, and he beat him very easily. He just looks well-treated. And then in the Ladbroke Hurdle, I like Drop the Anchor. Well-backed. He won Atlas Dole for Simon Torrens at the start of the season, was travelling well up and down Royal when he was unseated 2 out, and he was very unlucky in that good handicap hurdle that Vance Verger won at Fairy House when he got badly hampered by the fall of Eclair de Beaufou 2 out. And he was nearly brought down. He lost about 6 lengths, I think, but he managed to pick up and finish 3rd, which is incredible. So he's only gone up a few pounds. I think he's got a right each way chance, and I wouldn't be worried that Mark Walsh is on My Glass Flyer because Simon Torrens basically has the ride and drop the anchor. And I'll leave my nap then to the end.
Thank you very much. That's the 3:50 at Leopardstown, Drop the Anchor. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
DJ, you can go first.
Bruce, I'm going to go for Ashdale Bob in the 105 at Leperstown.
Frank?
The 425 Leperstown, Kilcrush, very good bumper. I love the way he won at Navan. The third came out and won at Leperstown, bumper at Christmas. I think he's very good, and I think at the moment he's the most likely winner of the champion bumper, Chetler.
And he's a
just to add to that,
chance.
Bruce, sorry, you're going to kill me. I know you're going to kill me, but listeners will want to hear this. David Mullins, Big Read Sunday. His granny bred the horse. I asked him about Dublin Racing Festival if he could ride kind of one horse, who would he love to ride? And he said he rides out Kilcrut every morning and he thinks he's the real deal.
Lovely. Thank you for that. That is a good embellishment to Frank's nap. That's 7-4 chance with Paddy Power. Keith, who's your nap?
255 at Sandown, an added race. The last on his last run, Benatar, was after nearly 2 years off, shaped like he was going to win the Caspian Caviar, and just got a little bit tired. That's a stronger race than this 255 at Sandown, and the two ahead of him in the market as we are recording this are Alnodam and Evander, and they won't be able to help taking each other on. That's what Benatar needs to settle down. I really quite fancy him.
I'm going to give you a free get out of jail alternative if Sandown's off. If Sandown was off, who would your nap be?
It would probably be Each Way on Stay Humble in the Edinburgh National, actually.
Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Let's do Sunday next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Frank the Tank Hickey. And we are looking forward to day two of the Dublin Festival on Sunday. It's on ITV4. We've got four races at Leopardstown. They are being augmented by a couple of races from Musselburgh. So two brilliant days of TV racing action. It's going to be cold out, but put the fire on, get your Racing Post, download the app. And we've got some great action for you to enjoy. We'll start with the 140. It's the Tattersall's Island Spring Juvenile Hurdle. And we've got a short price favourite from the Gordon Elliott Yard, Frank.
Yeah, Calixios is 11-10. Eumendor 5-2. St. Sam 7-1. Busselton and Hador 15-2. And Barnegall is the rag. 101.
Okay, Keith, do you want to have a look at this one or are you going to sit this one out?
No, I said no Irish hurdles. I've not looked at them yet.
Okay, fair enough. DJ?
I think the value here is St. Sam, Bruce. I think he's a much better horse than we've seen so far. I think Zana here is the best value favourite at Cheltenham. He's 11-4. Don't think he should be 11-4. St. Sam was hammered by him on Irish debut. Everything went wrong last time. Got hemmed in on the home turn. I think he's a very good horse, St. Sam. I think he'll win the Boodles at Cheltenham. So I kind of hope he doesn't run too well here. But I think he might actually win it.
Okay, by the way, the going is now soft at Leopardstown as we speak. Is that likely to be the case? What sort of weather have you got lined up for the weekend?
Yeah, it's going to be soft. It's unraceable basically everywhere else in Ireland. So Leopardstown gets given out for its drainage system. The ground has been too quick the last couple of years, but this is the flip side of it. It's fantastic that we're going to have perfect jumping ground. It's going to be soft. It's not going to be bottomless. It's not going to be quick. It's going to be perfect.
Are you going to be there both days, DJ?
There both days with bells on.
You lucky thing. Frank, who wins this?
I couldn't tell you. I think it's very tricky. Quixilios has an aptitude to overcome. Eumendor looked like he was going to win when he tipped up last time. Yeah, St. Sam is probably the value at 7-1. He was unlucky the last day, but I wouldn't be overly confident.
Thank you. We'll move on to the 210 at Leopardstown on Sunday. It's the Chanel Farmer Novice Hurdle. It's a grade one over 2 miles and the supreme favourite. Appreciate it. Dominates the market, Frank.
Yeah, he's 4-5. Ballyadam 7-1. Blue Lord 9-1. Irascible and Master McShee are 10-1. Castmate and Keskon Risk are 16-1. And we're 25-1 bar.
He's miles clear on ratings. He looks the absolute business. Does Appreciate It just win, Frank?
I think so, yeah. Look, he's been very impressive. A Cork beating Master McShee. Master McShee was only beaten 2.5 lengths. He's probably potentially the each way value if you're looking for an each way bet against him. But very difficult to see what beats Appreciated here. I just give a mention, Keskon Risk, the horse I really like. Joseph's horses weren't running well at Christmas, but he still managed to finish third, albeit well beaten by Appreciated. And I wouldn't be surprised if he hit the frame again here. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ran the Supreme if he hit the frame there too. But Appreciated looks really difficult to beat.
Given how strong the Jolly is, DJ, it's incredible. He's got 15 rivals, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah. It's mad. Everything is running. Look, Appreciate is very good and he's probably going to win, but I'm a founding member of the Blue Lord fan club. I loved them from day one and I thought he ran an incredible race against Bob Olinger in the grade one at Nace. I thought a strongly run 2 mile is what he's crying out for. And this horse has serious ability. Now, I mean, he's a proper horse. And if you're having a bet each way in this race against Appreciated, I would advise you to make sure it's Blue Lord.
The 3.10 at Leopardstown is the 2 mile, 5.5 furlong. Flowgas, Novice Chase, it's a grade one. And heading the market is the horse that is going to win next year's Gold Cup, Frank.
Yeah, Monkfish, 8-11, Lace Exhibition, 130, Challengers, 8-1, Andy Dufresne, Asterion for Lance, and Feed Duodari, 14-1, and we're 25 bar.
DJ, am I wrong?
No, probably not. Like, he's really good. And the thing I like about Monkfish is everything is within himself. Like, you just don't really know how good he is because everything just comes so easy to him. I think he's highly likely to win and he's highly likely to repeat his success over Ladies' Exhibition. Like, Asterion for Lange is just the head scratcher here because this horse could just do anything. The vibes I got before Christmas was that he was working as well as any horse in Willie's Yard going into that race at Limerick at Christmas. Obviously, we were looking forward to his clash with Envoy LN last time and he just made a mess at the first. But I'd imagine Patrick knows him fairly well. Won a bumper on him, has probably been riding him out at home. It's interesting that he rides and he just adds a little bit of extra intrigue to this race. He's got his tongue strap on for the first time. He's a headbanger, but he's a talented one and just wouldn't be surprised if he was the fly in the ointment.
Frank, could punters do an Appreciated Monkfish double here, or could you see a surprise?
It's very difficult to see him get beaten. Look, he won 2 miles 5 on his chase debut, so I don't think the drop and triple link against him too much. I think he'll take a fair bit of beating. Look, if Janil came back to his best, he is interesting. He was very impressed with Nace and his chase debut in a race that's worked out. The second line was Poet, the third January Jets, the fourth Esperito Bell, and the sixth men, Mr. Hendricks, have all won over fences since. He's very disappointed at Christmas, but I was speaking to Ruby there yesterday, and he was saying Janil is working well at home. He might be, you know, a bit without Monkfish perhaps, but yeah, it's difficult to see what beats Monkfish. And Asterion for Lange, his jump at Limerick when he fell, I didn't think was that bad, but I hated the way he jumped the first against Envoy Allen. He seems to be hated. So yeah, well, I have no doubt he has an engine. His jumping is very, very worrying.
Okay, and Keith, is there a betting angle to this, or do we just sit back and admire the mighty Monkfish?
No, I think there is a betting angle. I love Monkfish. I think if this was at 3 miles, I'd be backing him at 8-11, but it's 2 mile 5.5. And when he did look, he looked in trouble for about 3 strides at Christmas when he was asked to eventually quicken. He doesn't do anything fast enough for me to absolutely get tucked in at this sort of price over 2 mile 5. And with there being 9 runners as an each way angle, I think this is always the trip that Andy Dufresne's wanted. And he's got a lot of ability. You know, it looks like he's plateaued, but he's plateaued at 2 miles. I think 2 mile 5 will suit him. He's bred to be a steer. He made his name and his big money transfer to JP McManus through points. He might even be a 3 miler in time. So a bit of an each way bet of him at 14-1 is the way you can avoid any Monkfish jitters.
Okay, if Keith is struggling on his betting on Sunday, he's looking at Andy Dufresne to get him out of jail.
Hey!
Thanks, DJ. Right then, our other race on ITV4. On Sunday from Leopardstown, it's the 3.40. It's the biggie. It's the 3.5 mile furlong. Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. Short on quantity, high on quality and competitiveness. Frank Hickey, what's the latest?
Nilando 6-4. Kenboy 11-4. Melon 7-2. Delta Work 9-2. And Storytellers 20-1.
Keith Melrose goes first.
Yeah, it's Delta Work shouldn't be that price. I'm not saying he'll definitely win because you could make the case for 4 of the 5, but Delta Work's price is wrong. He needs his first run of the season, which he had at Down Royal again. His jumping is a bit of an issue, and he came down halfway round in the Savills. Jack Kennedy's a horse, the rider that can get him jumping that bit better. The way he jumped in the Gold Cup, for instance, was just absolutely incredible that he got as close as he did. Jack Kennedy is a jockey that can get him jumping a bit better. Mark Walsh rode him in the Gold Cup. He's too big a price.
Thank you, Keith. David Jennings, do you agree?
I don't know, Bruce.
What was that?
These races are just so, like it's fantastic. And I'm so decisive. Like, as you know from listening to me talking shite for years, like, I try and be so positive and say, right, this is going to win and this is why it's going to win. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I would be probably a little bit surprised the Storyteller won. But if any of the other four won, I wouldn't be surprised. Like Keith, I think Delta Work is the overpriced one. If he comes back to his best, he should be hard to beat. And like, on ratings, he's rated 170. He's rated better than the rest of them. He's £2 in hand on Kenboy. He's got £4 in hand on Melon. And he's £5 in hand on Manilindo. So on ratings, he should be favoured. He likes Leopardstown. A small field is going to be suit because he likes daylight. And Jack Kennedy gets the best out of him. At the prices, he's definitely the best value. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if any of the other three won, Bruce.
Okay. Thanks, DJ. Uncharacteristically indecisive. Let's see how decisive Frank Hickey's going to be on this.
Manilindo will win. Can I be
very?
Look, it wasn't ideal. He fell the last day, but his jumping had been really good at Wexford, particularly when he slammed Milan Native. I thought he was the best horse in the race in the RSA last year. Just the mistake has probably cost him. That wasn't a bad renewal either. I think looking at Alaho now is nearly favoured for the Ryanair. You have Irish running really well in the Charlie Hall, the Ladbroke Trophy, and the Skybet Chase. You have Castlebaum West unseating, who's won a Paddy Power. So it wasn't a bad renewal at all. And I think he's the one horse that could be a proper Gold Cup contender, and I'd be disappointed if he's been.
Okay, very quickly, we're going to touch upon a couple of ITV4 races from Musselburgh. I must say, really good weekend of racing up there. But we've got to keep our fingers crossed for Sunday. They've announced a precautionary inspection because the temperatures are going to drop. If it's on, though, there are two races live on the box. The first is the 155. It's the 2 mile bet, 365. Scottish Triumph Hurdle. And what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Sorry, we just don't have prices for Musselburgh on Sunday, Bruce.
That's all right, mate. Have you got a tip for us, Frank?
I just thought Wise Glory is interesting. His first start for Paul Nicholls was trained by Simon Christopher in the flat, went for 135,000 guineas, was rated 86, won on soft ground, was placed on heavy ground. Looks like he'll make a jumper. And yeah, I think, you know, any strength in the market behind him, he'll probably take a bit of beating.
Keith Melrose?
You could just about sub all those arguments into Carlos Felix, who I actually fancy. You know, he had the flat form. None of it was on soft ground, but he's a half brother to Here Comes When, who won the Sussex on soft. He's cost an awful lot on the flat. He's Dan Skelton sitting to Musselburgh to this race for his first go on as a hurdler. You know, even if he takes to it moderately, the only horse that's beating him is the one Frank fancies.
Okay, and David.
Not a clue. Move on.
Okay. Rightio, we'll move on to the 255. It's the Potence Network Group Handicap Hurdle over 3 miles and 2 furlongs. I don't think we've got a show. Do we have a fancy, Frank?
No, didn't have any fancy in that. I did like one in the Supreme race, but not the Potence.
Okay, well, what was that one? What did you like in the Supreme?
I just think third time lucky, like it's not original or anything like, but he probably one of the more interesting UK challengers against Appreciate It. His only defeat in the Supreme trial behind For Pleasure when he gave him too much rope that day. He was impressed with Kempton, and yeah, he should really be winning up in Musselburgh.
Okay, that's in the 3:25. Frank, I think you've got a toddle off, so thank you very much indeed. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Before we let the other two go, we better get some selections for the 2:55. We'll start with Keith.
Yeah, there's four races at Musselburgh on the telly on Sunday if it goes ahead.
Sorry, there are. You're absolutely right. Yes. How rude.
And you know, the 2:55, I look more at the 2:25, but I wouldn't be averse to there being a McNeil family double on those two races. Keeper Hill would have a good chance in the Pertence qualifier, but 3 under 3:5 in the 2:25 is the one I really fancy. He's looked like a horse. He's not bred to be particularly slow, but he keeps looking like a horse that's going to thrive at 3 miles. So, yeah, he's a horse that I think will probably just win.
Okay, 3 under 3:5, a position I've never found myself in on a golf course. David Jennings, what do you like at Musselburgh?
Nothing. I stayed away from Musselburgh because I talk too much.
Okay, no problem. Righty-ho, excellent. Well, that is it then.
Bruce, can I give you one at Leopardstown? I just want to give you one at Leopardstown. My strongest fancy the whole weekend runs in the 4:10 at Leopardstown. It's a horse called Cross My Mind, number 18, trained by Arthur Moore. Run off a mark of 134. I think he's chucked in. This is a rapidly improving chaser. There was some 8-1 during the week. I think he could be still 8-1. I'm not sure, but I think he'll win. Cross my mind. 4-10 at Leopard's Head on Sunday is my best bet at the weekend.
Brilliant. He's currently 6-1 with Paddy Power. Shop around. You may get better. Keith, have you got anything to add, or are we all done?
No, I looked at the chases at Musselburgh on Sunday. Nothing jumped out at me, so that's me.
Brilliant. Okay, well, there you go. Thank you for joining us. It really is a superb weekend. Really looking forward to it. Let's hope the weather enables Sandown to go ahead on Saturday and Musselburgh on Sunday. As always, please do bet responsibly. When there's so much action, it is easy to get carried away, and you have a bet here and you have a bet there. They all get beat and you look at it and you go, oh, blimey, I've done more than I thought. So hopefully we've given you some wisdom and the chance to make it a profitable weekend. It certainly should be an absolute belter. I'm very jealous of David Jennings. 2 days at Leopard's Den. Enjoy that, DJ. We've got Maddie back on Monday to sift through all these brilliant races and see what they mean vis-a-vis Cheltenham and beyond. And then we're back next Friday, where the big ticket item for our weekend preview will be the Betfair Hurdle. We hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.